you know, Picard's just a great middle manager. Like, he's just like, look, we've got to do this. This is just how it is. And, you know, it's the ship is in charge.
Fearless leader? Yeah.
No,
middle
he's
manager,
no.
Fearless leader.
I know. He's a good middle manager. He's like your quarterly review, your annual review of Picard, like your 360 would probably be pretty good. He'd be like, look, there's a few KPIs here that have been very problematic. And then you just see Wesley coming out of that sliding door crying, just like, I don't want to talk about it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Hope you had a good weekend.
Welcome back
to the Monday grind, the remote Monday grind. The days are all blending together for me.
I'm finding that I need little hobby projects on the weekend. Like, even if they're only a couple hours, something to do, a book to read, something that isn't related to work. And that doesn't mean you don't check work email and do all the work things, but I need some differentiator.
Yeah, I was trying to do, like, keep a schedule, like get up at a time and do the things and then go in the room where the work is. And days like that are always better.
That is good advice, Sarah. Like that is what you're supposed to do.
I think I read it in Definitely. Elle magazine or something, I'm sure, Teen Vogue.
Go into the room where the work is.
But it's hard to do. It's a tough thing when you can just roll out of bed and sit up and put the laptop in your lap.
Yeah, my desk is like actually connected to my bed, so it's right there. There's
That's
no
convenient.
Gotta be nice.
I find just that for me it's easier because there's so much work to keep up the house. Like what I did was I tilled the field and I cut the wood. So it's like if I don't do those things, then the house won't work. So you have to do the house.
I tilled zero fields this weekend. I didn't till any fields.
I went to Prospect Park in Brooklyn. That was incredibly bad.
Was it?
Bad.
Yeah,
how?
We need to open the streets up in New York City for pedestrians. People are not taking social distancing seriously because they're frying out and they're just like melting. And so like I went there with my son on our bikes and I was like, we'll be all right. And we were okay, but people were running 2 inches from us. It was bad.
I don't understand this. It's so crazy. My aunt has been telling me that she says she's jogging. She's wearing a mask. She'll walk on the street and people will come right up to her without a mask. And she'll be like, excuse me. And they'll get angry. And that's right. The people who are beyond frustrated now and they're like, forget you. I'm just being like, my response to this problem is just to be passive aggressive now. Right.
That's the thing. New York City folk are wonderful and loving and supportive. And I was here after September 11th and I remember it really well. But there's also just a tremendous number of dicks in the city. And it's just like frustrated, angry people who are cooped up, who are not the nicest human beings on, you know, on a regular day. And then they're just like, everybody's stupid. Everything's lame. Forget it. I'm going. And, you know, they had a fight. They had a fight with their spouse. And then now they're going for their jog to get their head under control. And all these asses are in the park. Like, and it's always, that's the classic thing too. Like I'm in there like, this is too crowded. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm here with my son.
Right. But you hopefully were keeping your distance and wearing a mask or no mask.
We were both wearing masks. My wife made really cute masks for our kids. Just nice, fit their little faces. Yeah, I mean, you're doing your part, but it's just like, because this is the virus from space and everything's vague, like when somebody's passing you on the left yelling 2 inches away, like what's happening? Am I, you know, did I?
I know, I stopped going for outdoor runs because I saw people on the internet talking about how people sweat at them on the sidewalk. And I found that when I was running, like it's impossible, that 6 feet is impossible. Like
it's impossible.
If there are two like adults that are both aware of distance, so it takes one other person that is like also conscious of social distancing going on the other side of the sidewalk, which doesn't happen always. Sometimes people walk directly at you. Even then, it's 3 feet. And who knows?
New Yorkers, they walk directly at you with no mask, these people.
No, it is the worst. There's a website that came out a couple weeks ago. It's just like Sidewalk Widths is the name of the website. And it's a map of all the widths of the sidewalks in New York City. And it's bad news. This city was not designed for a pandemic. It was, but you know what's actually, what is good news is cars. Cars have an amazing amount of space to do everything they want to do at all times.
Yeah, jog on the street because that's what, you know, more social distance. And then one friend of mine was like, well, I have a car and it really sucks. The street is full of joggers. What am I supposed to do? So it's like, we haven't really figured this all out yet.
Yeah, no, it's too bad. You'd think that there might be a way to govern or deal with this situation, but apparently not. Apparently we all just have to, no.
Paul, so funny. You were talking about kids with masks. So my wife made masks for our sons. They're 5 and 7. Your kids are a little bit older, Paul, or are they?
Not much. They're 8. I have twins.
Yeah. So then we went to the Home Depot and we put my son, my 5-year-old, in the cart, and he was in the cart for 2 minutes. And then you look down and he's taking his mask down and it's just chewing on the, you know, part of the shopping cart. It's like,
yeah,
this mask one is
of my one of my children is a mask chewer. Mask chewing is a challenge. But what do? Are you going to put hot sauce on the mask? Like we're in a pandemic.
I know.
See what Stack has about masks.
My wife was just saying, like, go back to school. School is a contact sport, right? There are some things in life, including kids, where it's just like, this will never be socially distant. Like teaching a 5-year-old is never going to be a socially distant activity.
You cannot stop a kid like under 10 or 11 from touching things. It's just not, unless you, I mean, you know, we used to go to the museum a lot in the before time. And it's, you know, you're just watching, I don't think I've seen a piece of art in 5 years, but I've seen where my son's shoes are relative to a piece of art. And been like, okay, come on, buddy. Got to get back there. And you know, it's not just you, and the guard is kind of starting to like get a little closer.
They edge towards the kid. The kid is edging towards the ancient painting and the guard is edging towards the child.
That's right.
All right. This also is very stressful.
It is
stressful. Oh yeah, it's totally stressful.
No, bundles of joy. So yeah, this week I thought we'd chat a little bit about React. I'm going to be totally honest, before I joined Stack Overflow, I did not know what that was. It didn't exist in my world of media or then drone technology. And then I joined Stack, and from the very beginning, it was like React this, React that, React Native, blah, 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 blah. So it was a cool conference coming up on Saturday.
No, this past Saturday. It was this past Saturday.
It happened.
Yeah, it happened.
Gotcha. So this past Saturday, the Women in React conference happened. And so, yeah, I wanted to learn a little bit about sort of like where React came from, where it fits into the sort of chronology of working with the web. Can you guys help me out here?
Sarah, you knew a lot of people at this conference. What was this conference?
Yeah, it was an amazing conference. It was one of those situations where, you know, like all your friends are doing something and you didn't know. And so on Saturday when the conference happened, all my friends were tweeting about it and talking about React Women. And it seemed like a great event. Cassidy Williams was one of the MCs, who's a friend of the podcast. And also Rachel Neighbors was in organizer, and it seemed to have a lot of women that are fans of React and the React community talk about building with React.
Cool. All right, we have to tell Ben, this is a rough one, Ben. This is not
Yikes. Okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's hard to explain React easily.
All right, well, let me, flip there's Vint Cerf, there's some protocols, you know, there's some HTML, CSS.
On. Well, wait, Sarah, do you want to try or do you want me to try?
Yeah, I got it.
All right, okay. Go.
Are you ready, Ben? Okay.
I'm ready.
So React. So do you know what JavaScript is?
Yes.
So your browser ships understanding and compiling JavaScript. And people started writing lots of JavaScript and found they were doing the same things over and over again. So people started making JavaScript libraries. And React is one of those JavaScript libraries. It lets you make components for your web application that you can reuse throughout the application. It manages state really well, and generally a lot of people have liked it. It's grown fairly quickly, and a lot of people love building with React. Okay. Paul, your turn.
That's a great explanation. I think that the big thing about React as opposed to... So the big JavaScript library before React was called jQuery, which is still around and still great and still super useful for lots of reasons. So what jQuery does is say, hey, JavaScript is kind of complicated. We can wrap a lot of that up and let you do the simple things like animate an element. So when you put your mouse over it, it fades in, or, you know, sort of play with the data in the browser in such a way that you can manipulate it. React goes kind of one level deeper. It goes, you know, let's not wait for the browser to display all this data. Let's not show it all. In fact, what we're going to do is instead of writing a bunch of HTML and then a bunch of JavaScript that interacts with it, we're going to write a lot of JavaScript that also kind of looks like HTML. And those things will be little components. And a component would be like a list with a lot of items, but also inside of that list, there might be an icon and inside of each list item and so on. React lets you define your application in terms of those components, and then it gives you a way to think about all the data that will feed and generate those components. Right. And so that's very different than saying, I'm going to make an HTML page and add some interactivity to it. You're instead saying, I'm going to model out my data, and then I'm going to display a set of interactive components based on that data. And that will be interactive almost by default. It won't be like a document. It'll be like an application.
And so this is interesting to me. You know, you're sort of saying like libraries get built, and then libraries become popular, and then those almost become like languages in and of themselves, or they become like a style. Like if it's not a language, if it's a library that then gets expanded and built out to the point where it becomes this kind of corpus that gets a name, like what do you call that?
It's a library, but there are people that specialize in it. Like these things get such a big following that people end up building careers around them.
Well, and it's a very arbitrary distinction, right? Like I think everyone would continue to call jQuery a library, but they would probably call React a framework. And yet, like you're into the deep semantic arguments. You're way into the Wikipedia talk page right now as you're like figuring out what's up with those two worlds. The other thing that's worth noting is React comes out of Facebook. It was it's an open source framework for kind of Facebook scratching its own itch about getting components out into the world and building things that were scalable and more easy for programmers to work with on the web because they have so many programmers.
As an aside, you know, before the reason why I brought this up, I thought they were adapting this conference to the world of COVID really well. But as an aside, we're rewatching Star Trek: The Next Generation, of course. And I was watching an episode last night where the Enterprise had to pull this crazy steering maneuver. And Picard, you know, the amazing captain, asks Wesley, the ensign, to get out of his seat so he could do the steering. And, you know, he's like, and, you know, like in reality, you know, Picard hasn't been steering a starship in like 15 years. But meanwhile, he's like, oh, I totally remember. I can do this very complicated steering. And I was thinking about this, of like what the equivalent is in programming of like, you know, move over, React developer. I used to write my own JavaScript libraries. Let me do it as the engineering manager.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, I brought up. Sorry.
No, Sarah, this is really funny because they played a segment on Planet Money about COBOL and they were trying to explain it to the world. Mm. And they explained it with the Clint Eastwood movie Space Cowboys, in which they need to like go stop an asteroid from hitting the Earth, but they need to use some like ancient spaceship or something. And nobody knows how to use it except all the people who are already retired. And they're like, step aside, Sonny, I got this one, you know, like one last ride. And then they use that to segue into COBOL Cowboys.
It's like Tommy Lee Jones, Clint Eastwood, maybe like James Garner. Like it's literally
unbelievable.
Men with extremely troubled prostates it's going into space.
Bad prostates and sciatica on the spaceship to take out the asteroid. Yeah.
You kids think you know something about spaceship driving.
I mean,
that movie Picard is as dumb as, wow, okay.
Yeah, but it's all the okay boomer mentality, right? It's like, okay, boomer, like, I guess you're still in charge, huh? You still know what you're doing. Although Picard, like, he always cut that fine edge where it was like, he's old, but he's still virile. He's like old, but he's not senile. He still has it. When I started going bald, he was like one of the only people where I was like, oh, he's a good guy and he's bald. Because only bald, only villains are bald.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Usually, yeah.
Today's episode of the podcast is brought to you by Stack Overflow for Teams, the best way to organize and share knowledge across your company. It's used by small startups and some of the biggest companies in the world today. It's free on the basic tier until June 30th with no credit card required. Head on over to stackoverflow.com/teams and check it out.
Bringing it back to React. So the reason why I brought up this amazing conference, React Women, is because they did something very cool, and the conference was online, as many conferences are now, and the Women of React conference, I keep saying React Women, Women of React, they did swag in the form of Animal Crossing, custom Animal Crossing gear, which was amazing, I thought.
Wait, like, Animal Crossing, the delightful game in which you are an animal who has a little island and you do capitalism on the island. Yeah. Like that's all I know about it. So was it like virtual gear? Like, cause I know you can make your own stuff.
Yeah. It's virtual gear. So it's like, It was like cute sweaters that are Women of React branded for Animal Crossing. So your like little avatar can wear them.
Like normally you'd have to buy them with your bells. Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, but see, that's generous.
It is really generous.
You go to the online conference, you go to the conference and you get many bells worth of sweaters and things. That's a nice world that we're in right there.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
Are you an Animal Crossing player?
I am.
In the Slack, we have a lot of stackers talking about Animal Crossing, and I had only known it from that. I don't know any kids who play, and they all play it like crazy day traders, just trying to like min-max their return on trading in, you know, turnips or whatever. So I didn't understand this was like a cute, calm kids game that some adults play as like, you know, Gordon Gekko style.
It's really intense. I'm deep in debt of bells to a gentleman named Tom Nook, and this is my whole life now.
Really?
You have to pay back this guy. Basically, you get a mortgage at the beginning of the game. The whole game is paying off your mortgage. That's the game.
Wait until they introduce the update pack that has the Nook chain. That's coming. Yeah. Cryptocurrency and Animal Crossing is going to happen.
Yeah, that's great.
So, yeah, I mean, Sarah, why? What does that mean? Like, you're in debt. Are you actually, like, do you have to pay this person back? And is there a VIG? Like, what's happening?
No, that's the whole thing. Is like, you're working to pay off your mortgage. Like, he gives you a tent first, then you have to pay him back for the tent. Once you pay him back for the tent, he's like, oh, wouldn't you like a house? And then you pay him back for the house. And then he's like, oh, wouldn't you like another room? So this whole thing is like paying off this. And then you like sell things or spiders that attack you. It's really wild.
Now, you're an indentured servant throughout the course of the game.
But throughout the whole game.
I also get the sense that everyone is comfortable living in debt because they just want new stuff.
Oh, yeah. I'm very motivated.
Yeah, like very few people are like, I finally paid off my island.
And I'm
going to just sit here and chill out. Like it's a brutal parody of capitalism masquerading as a fun game for children that is played by adults.
Yeah, this teaches you how to be an American deep in debt on your new house and new car. I got it. This is teaching them what they're going to deal with when they grow up.
Or when we're allowed out of our house again.
Related, there is another event coming up, April 30th, so just in a few days, called Deserted Island DevOps. Do you want to know what that is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Deserted Island DevOps is a DevOps conference in Animal Crossing.
So DevOps conference, meaning that people who deploy apps to clouds, let's just leave it like really broad, everyone's going to get together on one of these islands in Animal Crossing and talk about AWS, Google Cloud Platform, DigitalOcean, things like that.
Yep. Yes.
I kept expecting something else to follow, but no. All right. Well,
No. I just put the agenda in chat. So there's speakers. They all have little Animal Crossing avatars. They're talking about DevOps.
See, the thing is,
this is like the Sims of our era now, right?
Well,
like,
this used to be Second Life.
You could do the virtual conference here. Oh, yeah. Second Life, even better.
I once got invited to like give a prepared talk in Second Life, which I got to say was maybe not the most transformative experience of my life. It was just like, oh, okay, I'm here. Everybody was like really nice. It was nice to be there. And I was coached through how to create my avatar and stuff. But it's a very strange way to get introduced to a game, to be like, hey, come talk to a bunch of people with wings. But it sounds like this is just a natural meeting place now.
Right. Were they going to pay you in Linden bucks or were they going to pay you for real?
Wait, what's that?
You remember Linden bucks? That was like before there was Bitcoin, there was like the Second Life money.
That's right. And then there's also EVE Online, right? Which is another huge like spaceship-based game where it trades against Icelandic currency. That's been going on for years. But okay, this is fun. We're gonna go in Animal Crossing as a place to do DevOps and talk DevOps makes sense. Can you build little, is it like Minecraft where you can build little computers inside of it? Because that would be powerful if you could do the DevOps together.
Ooh, yeah. I haven't seen anyone do that yet.
You build a turnip-based operating system.
Yeah, it would be terrible
if the sky opens up and it's just that list of Amazon services when you log into AWS. You're just like, no! And all the little animals just try to cower away from the AWS. Please, no!
So, but I have a great segue for us now. So yeah, we're trying to live these virtual lives and like figuring out, oh, can I integrate my developer conference with my Animal Crossing life, which is like what I do most of the time. And then Sarah, you mentioned this to me. There was an amazing concert last week, Travis Scott in Fortnite, where he came and performed. And he was like huge, like, you know, like deity figure that came out of space and landed and was 10 times the size of everybody. And there was, they did this awesome effect where he would like stomp and it would like blow you back across the play space and you'd be like hurtled through space by his like amazing musical power. It was so good.
It was so cool.
Let's unpack this slightly. Fortnite, giant online game where you compete with people to like do something. Like you mm-hmm. the last one surviving, right?
It's like a mashup of Minecraft and, you know, the first person shooter. You're like battling other people, but it's a little more goofy, cartoony, and there's a bit of like building as well.
Okay, so that's Fortnite. Which person is Travis Scott? I'm really sorry. It's happening Travis to me, Scott man. I make my oatmeal on Sunday and I look out the window and I'd say, "Children, what are you doing?" So, okay, Travis Scott.
Yeah, if you turn the radio to Hot 97, he would be on often. He's like a, you know, top rapper. Up there with the, you know, the Drakes and the Kendrick Lamars of the world.
Yeah, he's very famous.
Is there a song that anyone could sing for me that I would recognize?
Yes, but I can't sing it for you.
Yeah,
I'm not sorry. Try. See, the problem Antidote. Is, you know what's happening? Okay, I mean, I'll go listen after this. I think also because there's just like no ambient sound because I'm all at home. Like, I mean, my kids listen to the radio sometimes, but they're 8, so they're not really into it.
Yeah.
What do I know about? I know that there is a new Chromatics album that came out, or like a new song from the Chromatics. Like I know like 25 incredibly specific facts about depressed women in indie rock and people who play out of tune on purpose on synthesizers. Ooh. And then like literally this giant megaculture moment is a total puzzle to me. So like Spotify needs to provide like news for the confused.
You got to go in there today and just make a quick playlist of like the top Travis Scott songs and then Discover Weekly's algorithm will be like, and they'll just start throwing new stuff at you. So you just have to poke the algo every once in a while.
There should be a podcast called Help a Dad Out.
Yeah.
Help a dad out. I bet that exists. There's got to be a Brooklyn Dad with that podcast.
H-A-D-O. Hey-do. Help a dad out. What the hell is happening in pop culture right now? It's these kids with their TikToks.
Speaking of the kids with the TikToks, there's a lot of great coding TikToks these days.
Oh, tell me about that. Cassidy did some of those, right?
What does a coding TikTok look like?
A coding TikTok, it's a lot of like coders be like, you know, type of thing.
I think I saw one where it's somebody just pouring things into a, like they're cooking.
I saw that one. That was good.
Because it's just sort of like, how do you make a coder? And it's like, you know, you pour a little code in and then it's just like a gallon of water and that's the MacBook Pro.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I thought that one was good. There's a lot of really great ones.
Okay, so that's a meme framework I'm familiar with. It's like newbie coders be like, veteran coders be like,
and then
AB switch in the middle of the TikTok. Yeah, that's a good framework for anything. I've seen a lot of like regular TikTokers versus professional dancers because I have like I follow a lot of break dancers and like stuff from my days as a dance major. So I always get that in my feed of Twitter and TikToks.
Oh, Ben, were you a dancer? It's never come up.
It takes some time.
I was just trying to get some context for why I follow a lot of dancers.
I know. I'm sorry. It's an easy burn and I'm going to take it. These are hard times. I did do a code thing over the weekend that I have promised myself to do for years. And so it's worth talking about for 1 minute.
I want to hear.
I parsed. I didn't use regular expressions. I didn't cheat. I didn't give up halfway through and just hack it together. I downloaded a parser called Parsimon in JavaScript that is a little combinatorial parser. And I parsed a little markup style language or markdown style language that I'm doing to make little interactive essays just as an idea. And it was 2 hours. And instead of doing it the wrong way for the first time in a long time, I did it the right way. So that was cool.
That's amazing. Why was this on your list?
Because it's always easy to not parse, right? It's always like, it was just sort of like, oh, I know this is a real computer science thing that I should be dealing with. And, you know, I'm a self-taught coder and most of your work when you're programming is I'm going to put these libraries together. I'm going to define my language I'm going to define my data in JSON or in a database. And you don't make your own little language. But I had this one use case where I'm like, you know, it'd be really convenient to just drop a few things in brackets in the middle of a bunch of text. And there's no template language that can actually handle what I want to do. I want it to be simpler and a little more interactive. So I should actually parse this. This should not be me doing regular expressions. And so then I went and spent a day learning about parsers. And it turns out not to be that bad.
Cool. Wow. Is this something we can share or is this unpublished still?
It's not worth the world seeing just yet, but I'll share it out. Oh. It's a storytelling tool.
All right. Awesome. I built and used a chainsaw. So that was my contribution to the learning over the weekend.
Both similar. Those are similar things. Are similar.
A chainsaw lets you tokenize your limbs, which is the very first state of
I was working with a literal block, a chain of blocks.
See, that's good. That's good.
That's nice.
All right, y'all. I'm going to do a lifeboat and we'll say our goodbyes.
Sounds great.
Love it.
Okay. Delete a Linux signal handler in C. Thank you to Omniferius, awarded 17 hours ago. Appreciate you. We're up to 1,006 lifeboats. Digging it.
Wow. Just people out there making a better world. Exactly. Sarah, how's the planning on Dev Around the Sun going?
It's going really well. It's going really well. We're almost up to 30 speakers. So it's getting to be crunch time, but we're... But it's been going great. Now we're starting to do some PR around it.
Sweet. Are you guys holding that conference in Animal Crossing or Second Life or Fortnite? Have you decided?
Fortnite.
Fortnite? Cool.
I'm not speaking. I am emceeing for a few hours.
Excellent. Excellent. That is going to be very exciting. That
sounds really fun. What date is that happening on?
May 12th.
All right, y'all. I'm Ben Popper, Director of Content here at Stack Overflow, and you can find me on Twitter at Ben Popper.
I'm Paul Ford. I'm the co-founder of a software and services firm called Postlight. You can see us at postlight.com and find me at FTrain on Twitter.
And I am Sarah Chips, Sarah J. Chips at twitter.com. And yes, check out devaroundthesun.org.
You know what I hear in the back of my head, everybody?
What?
Thousands of developers going... He just parsed now. That guy's like, he's never written a little parser before. What an animal.
Okay. I have a Travis Scott song for those haters. Don't worry about it.
All right. I'm going to go find my playlist. Everybody,
have a good week.
Have a good week.
Talk to you soon.